Turn to Proverbs 4:13. I'm going to tackle three verses tonight, hopefully. Proverbs 4:13 says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. So we'll look at that first part, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. So once we receive instruction, then we're to take fast hold of it and not let go. Fast, the adverb, means in a fast manner, so as not to be moved or shaken, literally or figuratively. It's firmly, fixedly, with a firm grasp, attachment, or adhesion, so as not to permit the escape or detachment, tightly, securely. And then it's often used with hold, so fast, hold, or hold fast. So when you hold something fast, you're holding it tightly, not letting it escape. Like if you had something extremely valuable and you don't want it to fall out of your hand. Or if you're walking on the edge of the Grand Canyon with your $1,000 camera, you're going to take fast hold of that thing because you don't want to drop it, right? This is the same kind of thing when it comes to instruction. Hold is to keep from getting away, to keep fast, grasp, often with adverbial extension, as hold fast. So these two things go together pretty closely, as we see. So basically, if you are to take fast hold of instruction, how do you do that? Since instruction is not a physical thing, instruction is an intellectual thing, well, the only way you can do that is by remembering it, right? That's the only way I can think of to take fast hold of instruction would be to not forget it. And the Bible's full of admonitions about remembering God's word. And I'm just going to give you a few of them here just to show you how important it is. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, even young people are told to remember. It's easier for young people to remember than old people. It's funny, like I think some people think, like I remember, for instance, we used to memorize verses up in Minneapolis, and somebody said, like, well, maybe even so-and-so could do that. And it was one of the younger kids. And I said, the younger kids are able to memorize them easier than the older kids. Like, basically, if they're old enough to talk, they're old enough to memorize the Bible, literally. Because I've known little kids that could just rattle off, could barely even speak, they could rattle off Bible verses. Because they, at that age, they remember everything. I used to have, when I was little, my mom told me that I had all the nursery rhymes memorized, like all of the different, the three or four lines of them, all of them, I could just rattle them all off. If she would have spent that time reading me the Bible, I would have probably had the Bible memorized like that when I was wee little. I don't even remember it. That's how young I was. So anyway, young people are, that's the time to start teaching them the Bible because that's when they absorb things like sponges. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So we want to remember our Creator when we're young. Because the days are coming, right, Bev? When you get old, and you don't have much pleasure in the days anymore. There's not much pleasure in life anymore because you get old, and you have a lot of pain, and all kinds of other things that are associated that are not fun with age. And Solomon goes on to tell us that, where you can't see and you can't work anymore and you can't sleep and you can't hear and you get afraid of things, all kinds of things that he goes on to talk about there. That's why it's important to remember our Creator when we're young, while we still can.
If you read the Bible to your child every day and you got a word wrong, they would correct you. Mm-hmm. When they're 2 and 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. I totally believe that. So one of the reasons why remembering is so important is because remembering is crucial to understanding. And if you think about this, it makes perfect sense. If you can't remember period, you're not going to understand anything. If you can't remember what words mean or remember words at all, you're not going to understand anything. If you can't remember basic things that you first learned, you're not going to remember anything past that. Or you're not going to, understand anything past that. Jesus said in Matthew 16:9, he said, do ye not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets he took up. So they didn't understand, but the problem was they didn't remember. If they would have remembered the five loaves and all the multitudes that were fed by that, they would have understood what he was talking about. So if we don't understand basic things, we're not going to understand more advanced doctrine as it comes along. And a really simple way to understand this, I think, is just to think about it with math. With mathematics, if you don't remember the fundamental things that you've learned in math, you're never going to be able to learn and understand more advanced things. If you can't remember how to do algebra, you're never going to be able to do calculus, because algebra or calculus is 90% algebra, and it's just a couple of steps of calculus. Or if you can't remember how to do arithmetic, you're never going to learn how to do algebra or whatever. You know, so you have it builds on each other. That's why it's necessary to remember the things we've been taught, so that we can then plug them in to new things and then branch out from there and learn more things based on what we already have learned. Jesus exhorted his disciples to remember what he said to them in John 15 and verse 20. John 15:20. That's why if you're talking to somebody and they have a pretty good understanding of a certain topic, and you're trying to explain something to them that would be maybe just a fine detail that would be have to do with that, they'll immediately know what you're talking about. Whereas if it was somebody else, you'd have to go through a long explanation, you'd have to build up to it, and then hopefully they get it. Whereas this other person, you could mention just a couple little things and then throw in the new thing, and they're like, oh yeah, I get that. Yeah, just like this, right? So that's what you have to remember, first of all, what we've been taught. John 15 and verse 20. Jesus says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." So what I really wanted from that is just simply when he says, "Remember the word that I said unto you." And is it any wonder if, you know, why would we be surprised if people persecute us if we remembered that they persecuted Jesus, right? If they persecuted him, they're going to persecute us. So it shouldn't be any great surprise to us that Christians are now being persecuted in this country and around the world, because they persecuted the master, so they're going to persecute the servants, of course. And Jesus expected people to remember, his disciples to remember the things he taught them. Look in 16:4, John 16:4. He says, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." So here he's not instructing them to remember, but he's just expecting them to remember. "I've told you these things, that when the time shall come, ye may remember." Right? So he's expecting them to remember what I said, and when the time comes, you call that to memory. You plug that in. And the apostles likewise exhorted us to remember the things that Christ taught and they themselves taught. Look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Paul says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, in our case, if Paul wouldn't have written this down, we wouldn't have remembered what Jesus said. You know why? Because that's not recorded in the Gospels anywhere. He said it, but it was not written down by Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Paul wrote it down, so now we can remember it. But obviously, the people that he was writing to were apparently aware of what Jesus had said. It had been passed down to them, and he's telling them to remember. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's probably one of the most memorable things that Jesus said, because everybody knows that saying. Everybody's probably repeated that saying. And it's interesting that it's just one of those ones that's actually not even in the Gospels. It's in the book of Acts. And then Jude, in Jude 1:17, exhorted us to remember the words of the apostles that were spoken to us. These are all just examples of taking fast hold of instruction, grabbing hold of it and not letting it go. And I'm going to give you some pointers on how to remember things that you've been taught here in just a moment. Jude 1:17. It says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're supposed to remember what Jesus said, remember what the apostles said. And we're told numerous times in the Bible to not forget God and His Word. I'll just give you the few of them here. Psalm 119 and verse 16. Because if we forget God's Word, we're going to forget about God. Because really, outside of a very small amount of things that we could know about God naturally, everything else that we know about Him comes from the Bible. So if we forget the scripture, we literally forget just about everything that we know about God, because we couldn't know most of the things that we know about Him if it weren't revealed. Psalm 119 and verse 16 says, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." So here he's basically making a vow. He's making a promise to God that he will not forget his word. You know, when you, and God says, "When thou vowest a vow, defer not to pay." So if you're going to say that, you better mean it. You know, you don't tell God, "Oh, I'm not going to forget your word, Lord," if you don't really mean it, because God will hold you to that. Psalm 119 and verse 141. He says, "I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts." So even if we are small people, maybe we're small in age, small in intellect, small in status, small in, you know, popularity, whatever we may be small in, even though we are small, that's no excuse for forgetting God's law and His precepts. Proverbs 3 and verse 1, which we've been over already in this study. Let's see if you remember it. Proverbs 3:1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." You see, in order to keep the commandments, we have to remember the commandments. If we don't remember them, we're going to have a hard time keeping them. And then, of course, Proverbs 4:5, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Now, let me give you some practical tips on how to remember the things you've been taught, on how to remember the scripture, and how to remember the preaching that you hear, the teaching that you hear. So first things first would be to meditate on Scripture and what you've learned in a sermon. Look at Psalm 1 and verse 2. Psalm 1 and verse 2. I just love Psalm 1. It's such a beautiful psalm, especially the first three verses, but all of them are beautiful. Psalm 1 and verse 2. Let's just get verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." I guarantee you, you get yourself a new perversion of the Bible, and it's not going to sound like that. You read that verse, and that just is poetic, it's beautiful, it's just a marvelous text. And I guarantee you, those new versions don't have that. They don't have the alliteration, you know, the "standeth in the way of sinners," "sitteth in the seat of the scornful," all those S's. It's just beautiful words. Anyway, verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Why does he meditate? Because he delights in it. He loves it. He loves to read it. And he doesn't only read it and then just set it aside until the next day. He meditates on it. To meditate means to muse over or reflect upon, to consider, study, ponder. Now, meditate, it's kind of an old word, and it's the modern connotation of it is different than what the scripture uses it as. So whenever I still remember this, when I first heard the word meditate used in a biblical context, I think Pastor Boffy used it, he said, probably when I was first, maybe the first time I met him, he said, "I was meditating in scripture." And that just sounded so foreign and so weird to me. I'm like, meditating? Because when I think of meditating, what do I think? Sitting there cross legs with my arms, you know, humming like an idiot or whatever. That's not meditation, right? That may be some new age form of meditation, but that when the Bible says meditate, it's not talking about that nonsense. It's talking about musing, which means to think, ponder, to reflect upon. So it's when you read something, when you read a verse, and then you just sit there and you think about it. You maybe read it again. You just think about it. What is that verse saying? And just let it sink in. Paul told Timothy, who was a young preacher, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15, to meditate upon the scriptures. 1 Timothy 4, 15. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now he says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study that show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So when we study, we show to God that we're approved. But then here, when we meditate, he says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So when we study and we meditate, we not only show ourselves approved to God, but we show ourselves approved to others too, that thy profiting may appear to all. And you can tell when a pastor studies and meditates and works hard in the Word and gives himself wholly to it, and you can see his profiting. You can see in his teaching and his knowledge of the scripture, right? And you can tell, probably, you go out and probably some of these mega churches or these other churches where pastors are busy doing everything but studying, and they're running around and going to meetings and committees and whatever, I don't know, whatever they do, when they don't have the time in the Word, the profiting is not going to appear to all. It's going to be apparent that you know what, they haven't spent a lot of time in the scripture. So it's incumbent upon pastors and Christians alike to meditate, to think about what you're reading, to ponder it. Number two, we want to make sure that our mind is focused when we're listening to a sermon or reading scripture. So you don't want to allow your mind to wander. And we all know what that's like, right? You ever read and you've read maybe a whole chapter or a whole, you know, a paragraph or page, and your eyes have crossed the words, and the words have, you've spoken the words in your mind, but you've been thinking about something else. It's really quite amazing when you think about it, how you can read something and not really get anything you just read because your mind was somewhere else. And we've all been there before. And so when that happens, we have to call back those roving thoughts and stop yourself and go back to the last part. Usually you can figure out and remember what the last thing I actually read that I understood was, and go back there and start over again. And sometimes I'm sure you've been there like I have, and you'll go back and you'll start reading again, and you don't even get through that verse, and your mind's somewhere else. You do it, you go back. And sometimes I think it's just that verse. For some reason, that verse just will not. I can't focus on that verse for some reason. It's weird. But anyway, that's what you want to do. Just keep going back. Don't allow that mind to wander. Number three, after meditating on God's Word, try to summarize what you just learned. And this is good no matter what, if you're studying God's Word or you're studying anything. Study something, read something, learn it, and then try to summarize it. Because if you can't explain it, you don't understand it. And you think about that, and it's true. Look at Psalm 77, verse 12. If you can't explain it, you don't understand it. Now, I realize everybody's not a preacher, and everybody's not going to have the same level of understanding, but over the years, I've had people have asked me, now, what does our church believe about this or that? Or what do we believe about this or that? And I feel like saying, well, I believe this about it, but apparently you don't, because you're asking me what you believe about it. And if you're asking me what you believe about it, chances are you don't believe it. You don't understand it, obviously. You'd probably believe it if I explained it again, but you don't understand it, is the point. Psalm 77 and verse 12. And it's okay. You can ask me what do we believe about certain things. I'm not going to get on you about it, because there are some things that are hard to be understood. And I've had various times where people ask me, now explain that again. Now tell me that again, because it just, you know, it's just one of those harder things, and it just doesn't click quite right. It's kind of like me whenever I call up Pastor Mott and ask him, now explain this certain verb tense to me again, or how does that, what is the gerund again, or whatever. And he tells me again, and then, you know, a week later, I'm like, now what was that again? It just, sometimes it just doesn't load in there. Certain people are, you know, our minds are all different, and some things are easier, some types of things are a lot easier for us to understand than other things. And so anyway, Psalm 77, verse 12. He says, I will meditate also on all thy work and talk of thy doings. Meditate first and then talk about it. And if you can talk about it, and if you can explain it and regurgitate in your own words what you just read, then you understand it. And that's great for, you know, when your kids are growing up, going to school. That's a good thing to help them to learn. Have them read something or explain something to them and then say, okay, now tell me, what did I just tell you? You tell me in your own words what you just learned or what you just read. Fourthly, review what you've been taught within a day or two of learning it. I recommend, and this is what I used to do whenever I was sitting in the pews, although we didn't have pews, but you know what I mean, when I was listening to sermons instead of preaching them, or now whenever I sit and listen to a sermon in a sitting down context. I listen to lots of sermons now, but most of the time it's while I'm doing other things, brushing my teeth and whatever. But when you're sitting down, like in church or something, or in Bible study, what I recommend doing is getting a pen with you, and whenever points are made, then maybe just jot down a little something so you don't forget it. Now, if you get carried away and you start writing, if you're not writing notes like crazy, it's hard to listen and write at the same time, so I don't recommend doing too much of that. But what I recommend doing is, I'll show you here. Let me get my pen, and I'll show you what I used to do, or what I still do when I have a chance. So, for instance, you got the little outline here, and I just made a point, and I gave you 2 points, 2 verses about meditating, and those would probably be good verses to have linked up with each other, because then when you find one, you can find the other one easily. So what I would do is I would circle that verse, and I draw arrows between them, something like that. And then I would know when I got home that any verses that I have circled with an arrow drawn between them means that those 2 verses explain each other. And then I can go and I can make a note. So let's see. Let's just go to 1 Timothy 4:15 and see if I have a note. See, I don't meditate. I have 2 verses next to meditate, but I actually don't have Psalm 1 and verse 2 next to 1 Timothy 4:15. So that would be a good one for me to write down there. So maybe when I get home, I'll look at my outline and I'll see that arrow, then I'll remember. And that's why, when you do that then, especially if you have a wide margin Bible where you have room, but even if you don't have, well, I guess you guys, you all do. So you start making little notes in there, and that'll help you out a lot. And then you can also make people think that you're a far greater Bible student than you actually are. Because here's the thing, if you can just remember where one verse is on a particular topic, and then you go to that verse, and you have 3 or 4 other ones written down next to it, you can, you know, if you're thinking of the Trinity, and you can remember 1 John 5:7. There are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these 3 are one. You can remember that one, but I can't remember all the rest of them. You go there, and there's 4 or 5 other ones sitting down, or, you know, written down next to them, and then you've just got 4 or 5 other verses to prove the Trinity, right? So I definitely recommend doing that, and that's why I've got so many verse references and notes here in my Bible, and that's why, you know, it makes sermon preparation a lot easier, too, because as I'm coming up with sermon ideas and I think about a point, I go to that verse, and then I've got several other verses written down next to it. And by the time I go to those ones, I've got other verses written down next to them. And before you know it, I've got a sermon ready. And, you know, it's because of years and years of study and jotting down verses in my Bible. So I definitely recommend doing that. And then review the outline later and write those cross-references in your Bible. Because if you try to, and I've seen people do this, like try to be writing stuff in their Bible as the sermon's happening, just not a good idea. Because number one, you're not going to hear what else is being taught as you're trying to write that down. Number two, it's going to be sloppy. it's not going to be well thought out. When you make notes, you want to make them well thought out. And I've got a video on my video blogs about that, showing you my method of doing that and how it works pretty well for me. So anyway, you might want to take a look at that if you want. And then, let's see, fifthly, quiz your children and your spouse after church to find out what they learned. Especially good for children, but with your spouse, with each other. You know, when you're way home from church or after church on Sunday or whatever, then say, well, what did you get out of the sermon? What did you learn today that you didn't know before? Great to do with your kids. Because then if they know, Cassette just asked Braden last Sunday, Braden, what did you learn in church today? He's like, oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so then she said, well, I'm going to ask you next week, what did you learn? And so then he's going to be paying attention, and he's going to be, he wants to get at least one thing, right? If he can just get one thing down, then he's going to be able to answer the question, right? So that's always a good thing too, because it'll make your kids pay attention. Just like teachers at school. If you don't know when the pop quiz is coming, you're going to pay attention, right? If you know that the test is coming up in 2 weeks, you don't have to pay any attention and then cram for the test the night before. But if you don't know when the pop quiz is coming, you have to be paying attention. All right, and then the second part of the verse. Keep her, for she is thy life. That is instruction, what he's talking about here. So remembering lessons in Scripture can save our lives. You remember that little verse, Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife, right? That was given in the context of the second coming and being ready for it and being prepared. Lot's wife stands as a stark reminder to listen to what God says, remember what he says, and do what he says, or else you end up being a pillar of salt. Those that forget the law of God and let it go will be destroyed. I want to take you to this verse, Hosea 4 and verse 6. I have quoted this verse many, many, many times. You'll recognize the first part of it, but I want you to also notice the rest of it. I usually only quote the first part of it, but the rest of the verse really proves this point here. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And this is why the American people are destroyed too, for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. You see here, he's forgotten the law of his God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they forgot. Right? They once knew, but they let it slip. They weren't reading their Bibles. They weren't paying attention to the prophets and the priests when they were teaching, and they let it slip. And now they're destroyed because of that lack of knowledge. Contrary to what George Orwell wrote in 1984, ignorance is not strength. And we're told in Proverbs 6:23 that the reproofs of instruction, and that's what we're looking at here in this verse, take fast hold of instruction. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Proverbs 6 and verse 23. It says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Remember what he says, take fast hold of instruction, keep her, for she is thy life. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So that takes care of Proverbs 4 and verse 13.